In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.
Warning, Check the Locks podcast is a true crime podcast and may contain graphic descriptions of violence, murder, sexual assault, and more. Check the Locks podcast is not appropriate for all listeners. Listener discretion is strongly advised.
Welcome back to Check the Locks Presents True Crime for the Short on Time. As always, I'm John Connor.
I'm Olivia Cornu.
Same, thank you for joining us this week as we dive into yet another truly terrifying, bite-sized true crime case. Before we get started, as always, Olivia, it's wonderful to see you. How are you? How was your weekend?
My weekend was pretty good. I went and visited the family and watched my nephew run cross-country state. Fourth place, shout out to my little nephew.
Shoo-shoo.
He's fast. He's a track star. And then just came home and went straight to work. I've been up since 4:15 this morning, so this one's going to be a short on time. But I hear this is our 100th episode.
It is. It is our 100th short on time. And listen, since you've been up since 4:15, I thought we would just take a really long time and kind of talk about what it means to you. You know, this 100th, I thought we could get really in depth, have a lot of really deep conversation, because I know you're not tired at all. There's no way. So
no, not at all. I'll just say love. That's going to summarize how I feel about the listeners, the podcast, about you, all the things. Love and happiness.
Well, that is awesome. And again, I know it's been a really long day, so thanks for powering through and hanging out, and congrats to your nephew. And again, just always, you know, done 100 of these, so you know, super happy to hopefully do 100 more and keep it rocking and rolling. And I'm just, I'm glad you had a good week.
Yeah. What about you? How was your week, my little magician friend?
So my week has been good. For those, I don't think I've talked about it on the podcast yet, but Millie got a magic kit from my mom in the mail. And, you know, she got really into doing these like little kid magic tricks for a minute. And I was like, it like lit a memory in me that I completely like forgotten that I ever had. But I was like, I loved doing magic when I was a kid. Like I loved the simple tricks and stuff like that. So, I know we were talking before, but my, YouTube and like my social media algorithms have gone from, you know, all political stuff from before the election to now. It's just like 7 ways to make a coin disappear. So
just want the listeners to know that I'm getting videos of these magic tricks, and I love magic. I just told John that he needed to be on America's Got Talent, and he quickly turned it down.
So Kara, not so much a huge magic fan, but I told her that I've been sending you the videos of like the tricks as I'm learning. She goes, I'm so glad that you have that support in your life, because I know I can't give that to you.
I'll take it. I'm so entertained by it. I'm like, I want to know, but I don't want to know how it gets done.
Yeah. So my goal is I want to, you know, learn a couple more tricks. Maybe I'll post some in the Facebook group if anybody's interested. But that's, I want to learn. I want to learn a few more tricks. And then, you know, I've played guitar forever. I know a bunch of kids songs, having kids on. Like maybe doing like birthday party side hustles would be the thing for me. So, you know, to play a couple of songs, do a couple of magic tricks, stuff like that.
I'm here
so,
for it.
Yeah, we'll see. I mean, you already asked.
I'll
if
invite
you could
to my birthday party. Can you be here in a week and a half or so?
I know it's coming up. I always forget it's like so early in December, but it's right around the corner.
Yeah. You can come to Iceland with me, do magic and sing me little jingles.
In Iceland? Mm-hmm. So for the listeners out there, I just found out Olivia's going to Iceland for her birthday. So we hadn't had that conversation yet.
I'll be gone for a long time.
Oh, dang. All right. Well, we're going to have to get some scheduling done, but we can figure that out for sure. But yeah, so I don't know. If you want to see some magic or something, just send me a DM. I'll send you a video of what I'm working on. It's a, please don't set your bar too high. That's all I'm going to say.
It's not crazy. America's Got Talent.
I told Livy they would laugh me off the stage at America's Got Talent, but I digress. Anyway, it is a short on time. It's our 100th short on time. This is a developing case. And for our 100th short on time, I had to bring one of my favorite kind of cases. We've done quite a few of them and I love doing them. So what do you think? Should we just quit with the Gabby Gabby for the 100th time, get to the Stabby Stabby, jump into this week's short on time case? What do you think?
Let's do it.
Let's do it. For our 100th short on time case, we are heading to Northwest Indiana in 1981. John Blaylock worked at the Inland Steel Company, and on November 3rd, his coworkers were worried. Blaylock hadn't shown up for work over the last few days, and this was out of the ordinary. So his fellow employees at the steel company called the police. After taking statements, investigators would head to Blaylock's residence in Griffith. When they arrived at the home, police were able to gain access, but they were not prepared for what they would find. As investigators searched the residence, blood was discovered in several rooms, and when they reached the bedroom, they found a grisly scene. Inside was Blaylock's dead body. Blood was all over, and the victim was nude from the waist down. Police noticed smashed pottery nearby, and on the shards were Blaylock's hair and tissue. But there was very little evidence. Detectives immediately began working on the case, and they were tipped off about how Blaylock may have spent his final evening. A woman came forward to police, and she shared that 2 days before his death, Blaylock had been seen drinking at a local bar called John's Place. It was then that she noticed the victim standing at the bar talking to a man that she didn't recognize. He was between 5'8 and 5'10, and according to the witness, he had straggly, dirty blonde hair, appearing to be between the ages of 20 and 23. Now, detectives worked as hard as they could, but sadly, nothing ever panned out, and eventually the case would go cold. But Detective John Mowry Sr. could never seem to shake it. And 37 years later, the case would be reopened, with the detective's son, John Mowry Jr., now taking the lead. Using fresh eyes, Mowry Jr. went back through old case files. Additionally, he re-interviewed original witnesses. The detective also questioned his father about what he remembered from working the case. Mowry Jr. was also able to locate a blood sample from the scene of the crime, and that sample was sent off for testing. It would later be determined that the blood most likely belonged to the killer, not to John Blaylock. With this new information, Mowry Jr. reached out to a private genetic genealogy company, and using the sample, the company was able to track down three members of the same family. All could potentially be the killer. Now, one of the men was living in a nursing home but would die during the investigation. Detectives were able to test that man's hair, and he would later be ruled out as a suspect. The second of the three men was put under surveillance. And in an attempt to find their killer, detectives pulled him over for a traffic stop. Now, during this, they were able to obtain a cigarette butt the man had discarded. Again, that DNA was tested, and again, that suspect was ruled out, which left only one possible killer, 64-year-old Gregory Thurston. Detective Mowry brought his findings to the local prosecutor's office. And after a thorough review, murder charges would officially be filed against Thurston. But there was just one problem. Their suspect was now living in Eugene, Oregon. So with a warrant in hand, Mowry made the journey out of state. And with the help of the Eugene Police Department, Thurston was arrested on October 29th, 2024, 43 years after the murder of John Blaylock. Now, Thurston has since been expedited back to Indiana, and he is currently awaiting trial. We will definitely give you any updates as they come in. But Olivia, that's our 100th short on time. Where's your head at? What are you thinking?
You know, John, I like these cases. I like them for our short on times. And I'm finding that as I'm researching, there's more and more of these genealogy, retesting of DNA, you know, now that it exists. Because I think we always say DNA came out in 86. Like we were able to test 85, 86, I feel like usually.
Yeah, very crude was like the late 80s into the early 90s.
Yeah, so I like that people... You can't just murder somebody and get away with it. So I'm excited that people are finally getting the justice that they deserve and families are getting answers to questions they've had for decades. And so I'm all pro these kind of cases.
Yeah, I'm in total agreement with you. And I think the one thing that really stuck out or the reason I wanted to do this one, it's a genealogy case, which I love, right? Because I'm with you. There's something so satisfying about someone committing a crime and thinking for literal decades that they got away with it only to be brought to justice just a year. I mean, live in another state, probably like they're never going to pin this on me ever. There is something really satisfying about knowing that that person gets the day that's coming to them, you know? But then the other thing for me was the genealogy within this genealogy case, right? Like the detective who cracked the case was the original detective's son. And then when you finally get that tested, okay, it's like it could be these three dudes who are related. So now we have like a mama bear, papa bear, killer bear scenario. We have to go through and, you know, find out whose porridge is who. So there was just something a little extra to this one where I was like, oh, it dug its claws at me. And I was like, we definitely need to talk about this one. And I'm super excited to see, you know, if we find out what happened, because I can imagine being Detective Mowry Sr. and being like, I've been working on this, you know, for over 40 years. Yeah, like I retired not knowing these answers. And so I can imagine to like close the chapter there would probably be pretty rewarding.
Yeah. And I almost wonder if that's what brought the son to the case, you know, knowing that his father, I wonder how much of an impact in the day to day that this case actually had on him of not being able to solve it. And then influenced his son to become a detective and then work for the same department, investigate the case. But it was a good one. I like these things. Now, if we're talking deadbolt tests, these aren't something that like scare me, but I do like that more people are getting caught for the murders that they're committing.
Yeah, I think I would need to know more about the why for it to really kind of rank high. There is something about like there's blood all over the house. Your victim is nude only from the waist down. You know what I mean? Like something happened, you know? And I think for me to put this higher on the scale, it would definitely have to, I'd have to know like the why behind it. But since we're talking about it, where does something like this fall for you?
I'm going to put this at a 4. 4 for scariness, 8 for fascination.
Yeah, I think I'm going to come in. Honestly, I think this may have been closer to a 1 for me, but I'm going to give
it. Have you ever given a 1?
I don't know if we've ever given a 1 before or not, but
I'm not. What you mean.
I'm not giving it a 1, though. I'm going to give it a 3 because when I think about it, right, like the fact that there is someone out there who is able to do something like this and then operate within the world for so long, I think that's scary on its own.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I can imagine, again, being these detectives who have worked on this for years and years and years, like there's just got to be this like gnawing at you. You know what I mean? And I think that in itself would be like, I haven't caught this guy and I know he's out there and I know what he's capable of doing because I've seen it. And I think there's something frightening to that as well. So that those are the reasons. Normally it would just be a 1 because I don't really, like I said, don't know the why behind it. But, you know, just kind of thinking about those extra factors, I think bumps it up there for me a little bit. Well, that is where we fall in the deadbolt test for this week's episode. Olivia's coming in at a 4. I'm going to give it a 3. But as always, we want to hear from you, the listeners, the locksmiths. Where does the murder of John Blaylock fall on your deadbolt test? You can let us know. Reach out to us on Instagram at Check the Locks Pod. You can find us on Twitter at Check the Locks. And if you're not in our Facebook group, what the heck are you doing? Come hang out with us. We'd love to get to know you, spend a little bit of time with you. And as always, if you like what we do, you want to help financially support the show, you can do so by becoming a patron. Head over to patreon.com/chatthelocks. Get signed up today. We got a lot of great tiers, exclusive benefits, coffee mugs, stickers. Plus, you get the episodes commercial free. So if you love Check the Locks, but you hate those ads, Patreon is the way to go. So again, you want to help us out, throw us a few bones. That's patreon.com/chatthelocks and get signed up today. And if you can't financially support the show, we definitely understand. Just listening and sharing what we do with your friends and family, the people who are important to you, means just as much, if not more. So if that's you, you're listening, you're sending out those links, telling people to listen, hey, check out this episode, I really like this one, just know that we appreciate you so much. Again, that's going to help us grow, get in front of new listeners, and really expand our community. So if that is what you're doing, you're playing a role in that, just know that we appreciate you more than we could ever tell you. That's all that we have for this week's case, but please make sure that you are subscribed to Check the Locks on your favorite podcast app so that you never miss an episode. We will see you again next week with another truly terrifying, bite-sized true crime case. But until then, don't forget to
check the locks.
See you next week.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.